Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De La Rue Cash Systems Sales Conference Call. My name is John, and I'm your conference coordinator. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. And if at any time you need assistance, please press star 0 on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I'll now hand you over to Mr. Leo Quinn to begin today's call.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to dial in. Just an announcement first, and that is there was a truncated news wire went out this morning. It has been corrected, and there is a full announcement out now on the wires in case you've only got the two-page version. I think it should be about six. So hopefully that's helpful, and hopefully you've all got the presentation. This morning I've got Stephen King with me, and we'll be running through this presentation together, and we'll run through the slides, and then we'll open it up to questions for anyone on the call. So obviously, starting at page three, we're excited to announce the sale of our cash systems business for some £360 million. And the decision we've taken today, I think, really crystallised the value that we've created since 2004 for this cash systems business. As you're aware, 4 years ago, after the three profit warnings, we had a business which was largely put together through acquisition. And at that time, we could have been in a position to crystallize huge destruction of shareholder value. However, what we decided to do was actually stick with the business for the long haul. We now have a very cohesive business, a reinvigorated product portfolio. We put in a strong management team, and the business has excellent prospects. I think this culminated today in the sale of the business for £360 million, which was a great result all round. In terms of the De La Rue going forward, I think this leaves De La Rue with an exciting business focused on a unique set of customers, primarily those of central banks, governments, and large international corporations. These are customers that we've had long-standing customer relationships with, and we have real strength in this area. It also completely reduces, or almost completely reduces, our exposure to retail sector, which for us in the current market, I think, is good news. Going forward, we intend as a group to focus as the leading supplier of banknote printing and paper and authentication and security features, and also focus on selective growth areas of identity systems and or security products, which is things like authentication labels and brand protection. The underlying inherent characteristic for this market is that we're focused on GDP plus growth, and that bank recirculation policy over the last 4 to 5 years has shown quite clearly a marked uptick. And this business last year produced some 13% growth for us, and the year before some 23% growth. It also contains the successful acquisition that we made some 5 years ago of the Bank of England, and they now are a great customer, and I think a very satisfied customer in that. Over the last 4 years, this business has grown consistently, and going forward, we see this developing for us. Moving to the next slide. This is page number four. The agreement to sell the cash systems business for some £360 million. This valuation fell comfortably within the range that we had calculated for the business and its future prospects. And if you actually look at it compared to its peer multiple or its peer group, that includes the larger players who are focused on this particular sector, we will comfortably be within that range too. We've agreed to sell the business to the Carlyle Group. We went through a process where we consulted with trade and also private equity. And in the end, given all of the offers, Carlyle was the by far the best offer for us. And of course, we had no antitrust issues that would have been associated with some of the trade players who are also in this sector. The cash consideration is £360 million, free of cash and debt. The business that we actually sold, there is an appendix to this, but it's the BPA business, the desktop product business, and the OEM business. We've retained the CPS, the Cash Processing Solutions business, because this is a business that actually serves the same end customers as our currency business, and we think this is highly complementary. You can see from the slide the turnover associated with the business sold is 286 million with an EBIT of some 35 million. Obviously, this will be subject to shareholder and regulatory approval, and we're completing. We're targeting a completion date of around September this year. If I click to the next slide, number five, again, the proposed return to shareholders is some 460 million, equivalent to 305p a share. This comprises of the net proceeds some 330. We've also agreed to advance 15 million to our pension fund. This is actually an advance, not a special payment. We're just bringing it forward for them. Plus, there will be a 10 million associated with restructuring costs, which I'll touch on in a few seconds. Plus the 160 million special dividend that we announced at the prelims earlier. We're going to do this by an A and B share scheme, which I think is the most tax-efficient method for all of our shareholders. And the detail of the capital return will follow after the sale completion. Moving to six for everybody, we're talking about here of how we've accelerated the shareholder value. Not only is this sale, I think, a considerable crystallization of value, but it leaves us with a growth with a business that has strong double-digit growth prospects. It leaves us with a business where we have substantial opportunity to take out overhead costs, and leaves us with a business where we have continuing productivity benefits to drive from within. The enhanced financial characteristics of SPPD going forward is that it improves the overall group margins. It exposes us to a market where we have good visibility and long-term growth prospects. As you know, over the last few years, this business now allows us to look some 12 months ahead with a high degree of certainty around the financial outcome for the business. And in terms of the growth prospects, the banknotes in circulation and new issue banknotes have grown consistently by GDP plus 2-3%. With the change in bank recirculation policy, whereby they're looking to increase the fitness of notes in circulation, we've seen a faster retirement rate of banknotes, and therefore the new issuing has also gone up. And also, with a view to stay one or two steps ahead of counterfeiters, there has been an increase in the number of new notes being issued into circulation, which also drive demand. So the industry has a very healthy growth pace within it. Also, we're keeping our Camelot business, which produces very strong financial returns for us, and overall has been a great investment. I think important, and one of the factors that we look to in this sale, is that we want to see a lower overhead for this business going forward. And today we're announcing that the central costs associated with this business of some 17.8 million over the next 18 months will be reduced by about half, and there will be an upfront cost of that of about 10 million. But it will lead to a much more simplified business and a focused customer base going forward. This is strongly positive and will drive outstanding financial returns going forward. If I move you on to the next slide, slide number seven, I think it's worth just pausing for a second to reflect on this business, because we have always thought of this as a mature business. But I think when you look at these characteristics, I defy anyone to think of it as a mature business. If I think of the competitive position, you know, we are the market-leading banknote printer. We have the number one slot. We have rational competitors. And we have an asset base which over the last 5 years has continued to be upgraded and improved. We have long-term customer relationships. Those customer relationships have been built over tens of years and continue to serve the group very, very well. In terms of the products and services, we do have a market-leading IP portfolio, and it's this IP portfolio that allows us to differentiate ourselves from our competition, but more importantly, allow us to get in with the state print works in terms of adding security features to their banknotes around the world. The reason this is, I think, critically important is that if you think about the market today, only 15% of this market is actually served by commercial printers. Therefore, some 85% of the market is still controlled by state print works. And we've seen a gradual move or trickle from state print works into the private sector. And the best example of this is the successful acquisition of the Bank of England state print works some 5 years ago. We also use our strong IT portfolio to actually gain a foothold in state print works so that we build up the relationship over time. And last year, for example, some of the state print works decided to close. Norway was an example, and therefore went out to tender, and we were successful in winning part of that business. So this is a business that has inherent strong growth characteristics underneath it all, underpinned further by the opportunity to continually drive more productivity improvement. This is it's a good market. We have a strong competitive position. We're well positioned for the future, and it has the prospects of producing outstanding financial results. I'm going to hand over to Stephen now, who's going to touch on slide number 8 and in respect to the financial numbers. Over to you, Stephen.
Okay, slide 8 shows the results for last year, detailing out the separate elements of the business within each division. I think the messages that it shows is that the businesses we've sold, which is Cash Systems excluding CPS, the large sorters business, represented about 38% of our group revenue and some 30% of the group operating profit. On sale, therefore, the retained group would have had a profit of about £71 million operating profit, which together with the £7 million we earned from Camelot would give a result of £78 million for last year on a pro forma basis, excluding Cash Systems. Another point to note is obviously that the margin of the business we are retaining, the large security paper and print business, was 19.5% last year compared to 15.1% of the Cash Systems business we're selling, so therefore the underlying margins of the businesses are also improved. The anticipated cost savings that which Leo spoke of, you'll see from the central overheads of 14.3 and 9.3 in security paper and print and Cash Systems respectively. We've mentioned that some £5.8 million of that represented one-off costs in relation to the strategic review, and of the remaining £17 million underlying costs, we expect that to be halved over the next 18 months. And once that was completed, and together with the benefit of the full year worth of benefit from the share consolidation following the capital return, the EPS basis, assuming this level of profitability for last year, would be significantly enhanced, double digit. I think that's probably all the key messages on that page.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. Moving on to page 9, around what we announced at the prelims. No change here. Dividend cover will be reduced to 1.75, which is a nice fill-up in terms of the dividend return. We're going to have continue our policy of progressive dividends and our policy of returning surplus cash to shareholders. Moving on to the outlook. We've entered 2008-09 with an order book in both divisions at a four-year high. In currency, is expected to result in the business continuing to operate throughout the current year at a high level of capacity. So we're in a very, very strong position, and we're off to a strong start for this year. Thus, despite the more uncertain financial markets, we remain confident in the outlook for the year. So we're in a very strong position for this financial year, and we go into it with great confidence. Moving to the final slide, which is our graph around maximizing shareholder value, one we've presented many, many times. If you add the proceeds that we're going to distribute back to shareholders, that puts another $460 million into the coffers. So net-net, between 2004 and 2008, we will have returned £780 million to our shareholders. If you think about the market cap of the company today, about $1.4 billion, plus the $300 million we've already returned, $1.7 billion, Compare that to the market cap 4 years ago of about 530 million. You can see that this is a 3x improvement. So all in all, you know, we've sort of added about $1 billion plus of value over the last 4 years to this company. So just a great, great return. And what I feel really good about is the ability now to turn this into cash and return it back to shareholders, which I think is the ultimate test. So I think I'll hand over to the audience for any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, just press 7 again. You will be prompted when to ask your question. First question we have is from the line of Mr. Ed Steele of City in London. Please go ahead with your question.
Morning, it's Ed here. Just a quick question on the numbers. The exceptional charge in the 17.8 million, where does 17.8 please stack, sort of move into the slide on page 8? So you see the 14.3.
Yeah, it's because the sum of the 14.3 and 9.3, which is last year's ended March's total central cost, of that some £6 million of it was one-off cost in relation to this strategic review. So if you take that out, you get to the underlying central cost, which is some £17 million, and it's of that number that we're saying we would expect to be able to half over the next 18 months.
Okay, so you end up with the 14 effectively becoming something like 9?
No, we end up with the 17 becoming something like 8.5. Because we have 14 and 9 together, you get last year's absolute central cost, but that included 6 of cost in relation to this review that won't repeat next year.
Yeah, so, I mean, the 9.3 is going, right, with cash systems?
Well, it's a combination of the costs. It's not all of the actual 9, it's 8.5 of the sum of the 2, because it doesn't all, you know, it's an allocation of a total pot of central cost. They don't actually live in cash systems or in currency, but we're saying of our total, it happens to be very close to the amount which is currently allocated to cash systems, effectively leaving no material stranded costs.
Okay.
So just to be clear, if you add 14.3 and 9.3, by the end of the 18-month period, that should equal 8.5-ish.
Of which 6 is just simply doesn't repeat because it was one-off transaction costs, and the rest we will get out by the cost of £10 million.
Okay, thank you very much. Second question, on the net proceeds of £330 million, does that mean that there was £10 million of transactional costs, please?
Yeah, it does. Net proceeds, £360 was the headline sales, £20 million estimated tax, £10 million total transaction costs in round numbers, leaving your £330. So a £340 post-tax net proceeds and a £330 net tax and transaction cost net proceeds.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question we have is from the line of Mr. Paul Stegers of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello, Leo. And hi, guys. Sorry, just coming back to this. I think I've got it, but just to its question. So the 5.8 million sort of reached, what do you call it, sort of the merger charge that you had as an exceptional last year, is that within the 14.3 then? That should automatically fall out in fiscal 09, is that right?
Paul, it's not the 14.3 and the 9, remember, are just a pro rata allocation of the total central cost. They don't actually live in different boxes, if you like. So
mm-hmm.
Of that total 23-odd million,
yep.
We're saying that we charged above the line some 5.8 million of one-off costs in relation to accrued costs for this transaction.
Correct.
Advisors fees, etc.
Yep.
They won't repeat.
Right.
So in total, our central cost next year would automatically come down to around 17, and then of that 17, we expect to make genuine real savings of a roughly half, leaving us with roughly 8.5 million of the sum of those two, and it therefore shows that the 8.5 is almost all of what we previously allocated to cash systems,
yep.
Which sort of shows that our allocation methodology wasn't far off accurate.
Yeah, so the 9.3 that you had the allocated overhead in cash systems, basically you keep that for this year, for some of this year, but then, yeah, and then it should fall out on 18 months. Really.
Exactly. Yeah. The issue is the timing, and it will inevitably be back-end loaded in this year because, we can't let the people go and the costs go until we've truly separated the business. And you imagine IT systems, et cetera, they don't walk out the door tomorrow morning, so it will be back-end loaded.
Okay.
So it's an 18-month payback.
Right, so effectively, if we wanted to work out the multiples paid that Carlyle paid for us, we shouldn't be looking at the $35.5 million of profit, but the $43.4 in cash systems, or?
Well, it depends. There's two ways of doing it. It's either 10 if you do it on the, just over 10 on the 35, or it's just over 8 on the it depends which way you want to do it. In the end, it's on the line is going.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's 10.
Okay. And then, okay, that's clear. And then on the $10 million one-off cost to achieve this overhead reduction, is that all cash?
I'd say about 80% of it is cash.
And is that like redundancy then?
It's a combination. Yes, it is. It's a combination of redundancy and related transaction exit costs.
I prefer the word restructuring rather than anything else.
It's not all people costs,
right?
The answer, but probably 80% of it is people costs. As imagine you're unwinding some complex arrangements, IT systems, IT contracts, etc. So it's an all-in cost, of which majority is by far the majority is cash.
Okay. And then my last question was just on given you've given more disclosure, which is great, on the remaining businesses, how should we think about the growth in areas such as identity systems, going forward? Because obviously you've given us the pro forma numbers for 08, which is wonderful, but it doesn't give us a sense of how those different areas have grown and how the margins have moved over the last 12 months.
Paul, we've got to keep you coming back in November to get the next instalment. But I would suggest to you that, if you think about identity around the world and the need for authentication, I mean, that would be an exciting business, I think is the way to describe it.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're investing appropriately in it. As you know, we've just put the factory in place in Malta. We have strong divisions focused in this area. So I think as we give you the next announcement in November, we'll be giving you an insight into the group's strategy going forward, and we'll be delineating the future for each of those businesses.
What you can say, Paul, is that both security print and identity systems year on year showed very good growth.
More than double digits.
More than double digit growth.
They were not flat years. They were both relatively small businesses in relation to the big business, but they both showed double digit growth.
Okay, fair enough. And this is the new sort of divisional disclosure that you will go in terms of reporting, is that correct?
Yeah, we won't be showing all the allocation of costs, but we will be showing these SBUs, yes.
Right. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question we have is from the line of Mr. Alex Hugh from UBS London. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. Yeah, several of my questions, I guess, have been asked. But just on the going back to the overheads point on cash systems, how much actually just drops out on day one? And if anything, by the sounds of it seems like very little, other than the 5.8 million, obviously.
You're exactly right, Alex. Nothing just drops out, unfortunately. We have to actually do things. And you can imagine, although some of these costs, as somebody mentioned, would be related to people leaving the business, and obviously that it has to be a phased exercise so that we can run the business in a controlled manner. Some of them relate to the unwinding of systems and processes, and that has to be done in a controlled manner. So I'm afraid nothing drops out, but we are confident they'll be done in 18 months. It does mean in the current financial year you will not see very much of a run rate, but the following year it will start to gather pace.
Sure. Okay. And then just the only other question I've been already asked, can you just explain, you've advanced $15 million to the pension fund. Is that basically this year's contribution? You just pulled it forward immediately. You brought it forward to the day of disposal.
Yeah, that's a great question, Alex. I'm glad you gave me a chance to clarify it. If you remember, some 2 years ago, we agreed with our trustees as part of a wider restructuring of our pension fund that we would put a total of some £60 million into the scheme over 5 years. We put two lots of, and we did that through £12 million a year contributions. We put two lots of those contributions in, and the deficit has come down on a funding basis now to roughly £15 million. So obviously, we have moved, and the market and various other things have moved, quicker than we anticipated. This 15 represents an advance of the program to eliminate that deficit. So it is a timing difference. We will probably put some more in this year because we've already committed to put the £12 million in this year, but what it means is future years would not therefore be exposed to the sorts of money that we had previously thought we'd be putting in. But obviously things change, and by the time we have the next valuation, no doubt there'll be some other number, but at the moment it represents an advance of the commitment we've already made.
And just in terms of our models, I guess, for this year we should basically be saying £27 million and then that's it.
I think that would be right, subject to the fact that there'll be another timely evaluation in 2 years' time, and then we'll have to look at it again, but you're right.
And the actuarial deficit
is 15 as well.
Where have I got a number of 50 million from? Am I just making that up?
No, you've got that 3 years ago or 2 years ago. We have a triennial valuation. Remember that there are two pension deficits. One is the IAS 19 number, which happens to be 15 by sheer coincidence in the accounts we just published. And the other one was the 50 million that it was 56, I think, 3 years, 2 years ago. And it's at 56, which rounded with interest to 60, which meant we paid 12 million off a year over 5 years. That has already, through a combination of us putting 24 in and through the rising in interest rates, which has reduced the liabilities, has come down to, as it happens, 15 million. And hence this 15 rather symmetrically clears it off to a theoretical zero, although obviously we haven't done another triennial valuation, so it would, you know, all this is sort of rather estimated.
Okay.
It shows overall the group does not have a significant pension problem, and I think that's the issue, and we've made a commitment to our trustees, to our employees, that the group will stay on top of its deficit, and this largely commits to that and eliminates it.
Okay. And then just a very last question, just the any working capital adjustments on the disposal of cash systems?
Yeah, this deal is like any deal. It is a £360 million with a true-up for an amount for working capital. So when we do completion, we'll have to do completion accounts. There will be some working capital, whatever that is, and that will be paid for appropriately.
Okay.
Just one thing. We, in terms of the costs on this, and I go back to Paul's question, is that when all of this is done in 18 months' time, we see this double-digit earnings enhancing for the business.
Yeah, if you, and this is a very difficult year for you guys because you've got to estimate the timing, the interest, the money that's going out in the share consolidation. If you fast forwarded to a year where everything was done, and if you use the profitability of the current year, or indeed your consensus for the year we're in now, it would be double-digit enhancing, and it's very difficult because we're obviously not forecasting a profit level, but if you use the consensus and you said full-year cost savings, full-year earnings consolidation, etc., I think your models will show that this is a generously enhancing deal.
Any further questions?
Okay, thank you. We have another question coming through from the line of Mr. Ed Steele of City of London. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. A couple of quick follow-up ones. Just still on this central overhead issue. How does it work for you on the ground? I thought you had quite separate management bases for the two divisions as it stands. So I thought you would have just naturally just moved out the potential costs for cash systems, or is this are the potential costs genuinely for things like management team?
If I could maybe I could just help. I mean, you're dead right. Where they are, we do have strong business units, and those are easily moved out and will stay with the business. But, for example, there's only one Leo Quinn and one Stephen King. So you know, that is allocated. So you've got to think of it that way. And there's only one IT system and one IT backbone for the company.
Yeah, and the other sort of cost, just in case you think Leo and I cost $17 million, there are legal departments are not separated by business. They run as a central team, strategy department, the finance team, IT, treasury, taxation, HR, are all inevitably not duplicated across the two divisions. We run those as, if you like, central operations shared between the two. And, of course, some of our businesses are selling and share our head office and they share the space.
Okay.
Their divisional headquarters.
Okay, I thank you very much. I understand that now. And just so I'm absolutely sure about the numbers. So
you had 6 million coming out, so automatically the 14.3 plus 9 goes to about 17, something like that.
That's right.
And so that's a reasonable number for this year, and then next year you'll have a run rate of 8.5.
No, in a full year when we've done all the cost savings, we'll have a run rate of 8.5.
So in 2 years' time, then.
But
yeah.
Inevitably, next year will not be a full year of the benefits because we won't get started on the savings until the back end last quarter of this year. So I guess you'll probably get a quarter of them this year. Then next year it'll ramp up to the run rate will be higher, and by the following year it should be a full run rate.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And my last question on the cash processing systems. Solutions, rather. I thought it was going to have a bit more profit than 1 million. What's the margins, would be a natural margin for that business, please?
Stephen, how's that one go?
Inevitably, it's a law of small numbers at the moment, so margins don't mean much on a business which is very much a developing business. I think the key message, as Leo said, is this business is retained because it is strategic and is integral to the sales process of our currency business to central banks. It isn't loss-making. The budget for this year shows a profit improvement on this year as it did the previous year, so it's a constantly progressing business. But in terms of EBITDA profitability in absolute terms is as small as this. Margins are almost irrelevant.
Last year it was a high double-digit growth business as well. So
it's a high growth but low absolute profitability business.
In November, we'll obviously give you another insight into more detail and delineation of that business as well.
We expect it to grow this year, though.
You don't think it's plausible they can ever make, say, a high single-digit margin? That's not...
I don't think that's impossible. I'm just saying it's not likely to happen this year.
Okay, I understand. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are currently no further questions in queue. So a final reminder that if you'd like to ask a question, you need to press 7 on your telephone keypad now. It appears we have no further questions coming through.
Thank you, guys.